All right, it's
You gotta love
Wednesday.
a LinkedIn stream.
Oh yeah, you gotta love
I'm
the
sorry.
LinkedIn stream, right? Yeah, no, I, you know, the irony is kind of funny though, because I had somebody ask me the other day. I said, "Hey, well, we do live stream on LinkedIn," and they're like, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah, nobody ever talks. It doesn't matter what platform you're on, right? People come in and go out,
That's
come in,
true.
go
That's
out.
true.
But we actually get the most engagement." After the fact on LinkedIn, as far as like view time and stuff like that. So, well, I don't know. Who
That
knew?
makes sense. I mean, yeah, it's probably
Yeah.
the biggest following either of us has is LinkedIn.
I would think so. Yeah. Like I would bet you it's like orders of magnitude larger on LinkedIn. So just by the size of audience, right? I that would make sense then.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, it's Wednesday. It feels like I was going to say winter again, but that's being overly dramatic. It feels like spring again after an insanely hot long weekend. So I guess it's good that we're inside talking about cloud news, right? Because it's too cold to be
Yeah.
outside again.
What a crazy little burst.
I
Just a little
know.
taste of summer.
Just you get 48 hours of it, and then I walked out before we started, and I was like, it's not like it was there on the long weekend. It's a little on the cold side.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I can.
I guess it's relative. I shouldn't say it's cold, but I'm kind of over it now. Okay, let's jump in. What do we got first? I've sort of mixed the AWS news all over the place because some of it is Gen AI related and some of it isn't. So the first
Okay.
one was one that you shared about EventBridge Scheduler adding 619 API actions and 13 new services. So my first reaction is, what, only 619? Come on.
Yeah, light service update,
Yeah, just
kind of a
are you serious
little
about
tweak.
this or not? Right?
Yeah, kind of a
Well,
crazy functionality boost. I mean, it's
yeah.
a
What have
useful service, right? Like you don't have to glue with lambdas and things like that anymore. You can just pipe
No.
directly. I know you could do it with Dynamo before, but
Yeah. It reminds me, you know what? Like, I think we've talked about this before, just how things all seem to converge on the platform. Like,
yeah.
it sort of reminds me now of step functions in the sense that,
Right.
you know, when step functions first came out, you wrote all of the integration, right? You
Yep.
basically invoked a Lambda function that then made the API calls to another service. And now it's kind of like, if you're writing Lambda functions in step functions, you're making your life harder than it needs to be. Why wouldn't you just do the direct integrations and only create Lambda functions when you're doing something so unique and special that it isn't pre-baked?
Yeah, pretty
Right?
much. I mean, and they were already abstracting it anyways, right? Like there wasn't a service that launched relatively recently or an addendum to Lambdas where you could do like planned workflows.
Yeah.
I recall we talked about it.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago
But
now,
yeah.
right? Maybe a month ago.
Maybe a month or so, yeah. But yeah,
I
quality of
don't know
life.
what else do you say about EventBridge, right? Yeah, this is a quality of life update. The only other note that I wrote to myself was, if you're building event-driven solutions, then this is where you should start. Especially after
Definitely.
this.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it reminds me a lot. Another thing it reminds me of is, remember in config, AWS config, you
Yeah.
have managed rules. And when it first came out, they were
Yeah.
like, here are a dozen managed rules. So everything else you have to write from scratch. And now it's kind of the other way around. Here's 300 managed rules. If you have a really, really odd corner case or edge case, whatever you want to call it, then sure, you're still gonna have to write that yourself. But we've got you covered on like 99% of everything that you would want to do. It kind of feels the same way.
Yeah, it's kind of what they do. They give you the basics to start with, and then they abstract it into something more user-friendly later on.
Yeah, exactly. What's the other one? Prefetching and IAM role assumption for the Secrets Manager agent. Not to be confused with a Gen AI agent, just the
Right.
agent. Yeah. Again,
This is.
what do you say about this?
Specifically, this is like the EKS agent, right? Or that's one of the main places you see this used. So this is for if you have Kubernetes workflows that are hitting Secrets Manager and you don't want to, first of all, it'll save you on API costs for Secrets Manager because you can batch the requests. Second of all, you can just fetch them at launch of the task or whatnot and pull them in. So it's just an efficiency gain if you're on EKS, which I mean, many people are, so that's a handy thing.
Is okay, so is it only for EKS or could you use this elsewhere?
I feel like you could use it elsewhere. I don't know where else you would want to, though. Maybe on like a managed ECS group or something.
Like I
Trying to
was wondering
think.
if you had a Lambda function that was maybe making calls to a bunch of different services that needed credentials. Could you not use this to cache, like make a single call to get all the credentials you need and then cache them rather than writing that yourself? Like, I don't know.
I guess you could. I don't know why you
Why you
would.
would?
Because you would probably just like when you launch the Lambda function, what you're probably doing is you're pulling in the environment variables, like the secret connection to the environment variable, and then making that call out to Secrets Manager every time you spin up that Lambda function. So, and the Lambda function is going to be around ideally
I guess,
for
yeah. Less than
50
15 minutes.
milliseconds. Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe not that use case, but I could see it for like, again, ECS, you might want to have something using this, that kind of thing.
Man, very good. Well, I think because I've pulled some of the AWS news, I think it was more appropriate to put in the Gen AI section. It's episode 47. This may be the shortest AWS news segment we've ever had. Like,
There wasn't very much, there was
no.
not a lot of note, I will say.
We've been, according to the streaming software, we've been live for less than 8 minutes. And you listen to me ramble on about shitty weather for 3.5 minutes of that. So there you go. We're done. Yeah, we're done. My favorite section, I need the intro song for this. I think I've said it before. Personal project updates for the week. Do you want to kick
Ooh.
us off again?
Sure, I can kick us off. So personal projects, what am I working on? I'm continuously chipping away at my own LLM agent on time or harness or what have you, right? That's constantly something I've been chipping away at since basically January. Turns out it's still hard to write good software when you're a team of one versus like a team of expert software developers, but it's coming along.
Good.
Other things, the game still working out some kinks in like the actual rules and playtesting, but I'll probably have something for you next week on that. And then I started designing my own programming language, but I'm sure that's a rabbit hole that I'll drop next week and then move on to something else, you know?
Oh man, that's funny. That reminds me of way back in the day. This was a long time ago. I worked with a bunch of guys, and we just thought Perl was the best thing that ever
Oh yeah.
existed on planet Earth, right? And we used to only half joke that we were going to write an entire operating system out of Perl just to see if we could do it. And then we had our launch all planned, like there was going to be a banner on the CN Tower and stuff like that. I can't
Oh
remember
yeah.
anymore. Oh yeah, we had lots of fun. I can't remember, but I think somebody thought of a name for it, the whole bid, right? So there you go. You're getting your own programming language. Go for it. Yeah,
Yep,
somehow you
why
have to
not, right?
turn your name into the acronym for the per for the language. Yeah, that'd be good.
How to
Yeah.
immortalize yourself, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. Awesome. Well, I spent
No,
this
yeah.
this is the first week that I don't think I have a Kanban
I was going to say, enough about me. What's happening in Kanban world? But
Not nothing. I'm I'm
okay,
sh I'm sh I don't know. I'm shocked.
is
Okay, I like okay, first off, I extended the long weekend
Oh,
on
nice.
Friday. Yeah, and I have a story around that. I ended up you shared in Discord your CVEs from the week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So one of those CVEs screwed my extra long weekend. Nginx related. Whatever that one was that allowed crafted requests that could basically deny service or even potentially allow RCE, remote command executions, right?
That one was quite bad. I mean, there were a lot of bad CVEs that came out in the past 2 weeks, but that one was pretty rough.
That was not fun. So I spent the first half of my extended long weekend patching. It was bad enough that we had a blanket change record for all of production.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. It was just like everybody has the green check mark. If your application is using this, you patch.
You're patching. Wow.
Yeah, you're That's patching crazy. Like now. Right. So yeah, they were very, very worried about it. And you know what was interesting? I managed to get it all patched, but it's so funny how you can work on a project, right? And it works perfectly fine. You know, your pipeline does its thing. And then you kind of like later you go back and you look at it and you're like, that was stupid. And that was stupid. So outside of the patching, I probably created, speaking of Kanban, I probably created like a dozen cards for myself. Like after you've been away from a while, you come back and you're like, why would I have done that? Like, doesn't make any sense, right? So now I'm like, okay, well, we'll fix that. We'll fix this. Now I've created, the CVE created a whole bunch of work for me. But anyways, yeah, work at the moment. Test. Yeah, right? Work in the moment, fixing it. Then all of the fallout work as you realize that you made some stupid decisions when you built it the first time that you should just address now. So yeah, no Kanban updates. I feel I'll borrow from Slapshot, right? I feel shame.
don't feel shame. Two minutes,
you're in the box, you feel shame, right? But I do have something I think you will be interested in. I spent some time with the Pi agent.
Ooh, tell me more. What do you think?
Okay, in one word, wow. For all sorts of different reasons. Okay. So I've talked on the show for a long time about like my whole universe revolves around MCPs, right? Like everything I build's got an MCP. So an agent can talk to another agent and all that good stuff. Okay. And first off, it doesn't support MCPs out of the box. So I was like, oh, well, they keep talking about how the Pi agent can, you know, extend itself by using its coding agent. So I'll do that. I'll say, hey, go look at Kanban. It has an MCP. Make sure you understand it. And then I want you to port that over. It's not a good decision. I didn't give it a lot of time. Right. And then I went back to the sort of drawing board and I was like, okay, I've heard about these Pi extensions. Maybe I'm just thinking about this the wrong way. So what I did was, again, I let Pi do it. I said, okay, Pi, like just scrap MCP. It's just it might just be me because I'm so used to with Claude and Gemini and Kiro, sort of this idea of it preloading, like the MCP is there and it just says, oh yeah, I should use the MCP for that. I couldn't figure out how to get the Pi agent to do that. Basically like, hey, I have an MCP, but you have to tell me every single time that you want me to use it versus an extension, which seemed to work way better. So what I ended up doing was I basically created with Pi's help extensions for all of the stuff. So I have an extension now for OpenBrain. I have an extension for Kanban and it is slick. Slick. Very, very cool. I wired it into open code so I could try different models and stuff. I started with Qwen and cheap, but nah. Like, there was a bunch of times I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, that's not what I wanted you to do, right?
They're not quite there with the open weights yet.
No, yeah.
They're really good, but they're not quite GPT 5.5 or yeah. 4.7. Yeah.
Yeah. Just you could clearly tell the difference, right? And then I changed to another model that you and I have talked about that I had poked around with a little bit, just through open code, like just trying it, GLM 5.1.
Oh, yeah. 5.1 probably. Yeah.
That thing is a beast.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like night and day between Quen whatever and that. I was just randomly trying shit, right? Like I wasn't giving it a whole lot of thought, but it was on my list of ones that I had wanted to try. Obviously it was way more expensive, right?
Oh,
but
yeah.
But
you
when
can't
I
compare the subscriptions.
Yeah. When I tasked it, like when I tried to get Quen to write extensions, meh. When I put GLM on it, done. Like
sweet.
Like, I didn't have to go, what the hell are you doing? I didn't have to do anything. I basically said, go over here, understand the API that I'm using for this MCP integration, and then I want you to build it as an extension over here. It's like, yeah, that's all you're asking me to? Sure, man. What's next?
No problem.
Yeah, it was just boom. And it was fast.
That's the nicest fast. Part about Pi is it's so freaking fast.
Holy
I don't know how
hell.
How they did it, but man, it just feels so much snappier to use than Cloud Code.
Like, oh yeah. Wow. Like Cloud Code, there are times when I'm watching Cloud Code and I can read the output as it's going.
Yeah.
There was no possible way you could do that with really any of the models that I tried. I only tried two or three. I think there was a third one, but it's escaping me right now. But wow, man, it's just like, whoosh, just I'm like, okay. The other thing I noticed is obviously the context windows are much smaller, so I'm not used to dealing with like 200,000 sort of context windows.
Sure.
So I had to kind of keep an eye on that. But yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's become my default. That's what I reach for first is Pi now, especially like you said, it's so easy to integrate with my Brain2 MCP and whatever else I'm working on. And I've got like a library of custom skills now to do various tasks like prep for the podcast, for example, or research something.
Yeah.
So I mean, I kind of figured it would be really good for you. It's been really good for me just because it's so customizable, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're doing. We're tailoring it to our workflows, but
yeah.
You should try it with 5.5 low. It just flies.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give it another whirl. The other thing I want to try probably this week before the next podcast is the only thing that makes me a little nervous with it is, you know, it's kind of like YOLO mode all the time.
Yeah.
Versus like the I'll call it the harness or whatever around Claude. Like Claude's like, are you sure? Are you sure? Do you want me to run this? even when I put it in the damn settings JSON file, it's like, do you want me to? Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, yes, do it. I've told you it's like in the settings JSON like 12 times. Just do it.
Yeah.
And this is just like, and it's like 0 to 100, baby. Whoosh. Like I joked with somebody the other day. I found this great meme, and it was something like, all gas, no brakes, baby. And that's like, I think it might be from like some NASCAR reference or something. And that's what I thought. I was like, oh man, I could see now how people could get themselves in deep shit. Like that thing's just like, well, that's what you told me to do. And I'm going to do it. And I will figure out how to do what you want at all costs. So I do think
at any cost. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I do think that, I'm going to spend a little more time on something that we've talked a lot about for weeks on the podcast is Docker containers.
Yeah.
Like maybe
it's got to be one of the better ways to contain it, like isolate it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's making me a little uncomfortable at the OS level that, you know, and the fact like you think about how many AWS accounts I touch and stuff, and I use Granted. And that shit is on my laptop. So you could think, in theory, that it's just like, oh, I need access to this account. I've decided that's what I'm going to do. I know where to go and get these credentials, or I know how to run the Granted commands. I'll just run them. See ya.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm just like,
no, <"Whew."> it's a bug and a feature, right? Like there's pros and cons. Like I would not use it for anything like any kind of production updates or anything like
No.
that, let alone any of these tools really, right? But like,
No.
let's be honest, Claude Code and is much safer with the constant prompts if
Yeah,
you're gonna
yeah.
do something like that.
I do let Claude hit my personal project AWS accounts with read-only, right? Now, in theory, it could figure out, if it really wanted, it could figure out how to grab my power or admin privileges in those accounts, right? It wouldn't, it's not a big leap to go from these are the read-only credentials to the non-read-only credentials. But I don't let it touch anything other than, you know, my OpenBrain, my Kanban, my metric stuff, my podcast stuff, and those all have their own dedicated accounts. So I do think that it would be in my best interest to, I'm thinking, and I don't know if this is overkill or not, but what I'm thinking is like a container for each project almost. Like this is the OpenBrain container. This is, you know, I don't know if that's too much, but I've also thought that I could then control the credentials even. Like I do want you to have access to AWS, but I want to make sure you only have one set of credentials that you can see from this container. Nothing else. Right? You know what
Yeah,
I
that
mean?
makes
That's what I was
sense.
thinking.
That makes sense if you want to scope it on like a project basis, especially if you have a situation where you're dealing with sensitive environments, right? I could totally see scoping it down like that. I was almost thinking like, is it time for a remote desktop development server, right? Like just spin up an EC2 instance, develop on there. Probably makes much more sense to run these agents on something like that, as opposed to my local machine with admin credentials, right? Like just give it a scoped role.
Yeah,
So
didn't we talk not too long ago that we're going back to mainframe days? See, you're saying it again. You're like, I don't want to run that on my local crappy machine. I'm going to go run it on an EC2 instance. Yeah,
Yeah,
the
100%.
mainframe's coming, man.
Yep, coming for us all. Back to the central computer.
Yeah, there you go. And that's my personal projects, man. That was a we talked more about Pi than we did about AWS news.
We did, but it is more exciting. So there's
Perfect.
that.
Yeah, there's that. Okay, let's change gears again and talk about some Gen AI news. I just sort of dumped everything from Discord into my cheat sheet. So these are in no order whatsoever. The first one that I grabbed was the new Gemini 3.5 flash update.
Oh yeah.
Thoughts?
Interesting direction we're going here. So Google just announced Gemini 3.5. Based on the article and the benchmarks and whatnot, it's about three times as fast as 3.1. So it's like 300 tokens per second, and it's like comparable. It's in the top tier of intelligence now. And it seems like they're gearing for agentic tool use, programming development, that kind of work. That's what the benchmarks say to me. Did you get a chance to mess around with it, or read
I
up on it at all?
didn't. I didn't. I looked
Okay.
at the news release and then I put it on my to-do list. So yeah, I think I wrote the same things that you wrote down, like just the speed, right? It's obviously much more expensive than the previous generation of Flash. I think if I wrote this down right, it's more than five times more expensive
Oh
than version 3. And actually, I think if I remember, it's even the equivalent cost or maybe even more than Gemini 3.1 Pro, I think they said
yeah.
somewhere in the article. So it's
It's a
not
reasoning model
cheap.
too.
Yeah, not cheap,
So
but like you said, on that one index, the artificial analysis intelligence index, that's a mouthful, right? It jumped like it went from the bottom of the pile to like the let's say the bottom third of the pile to like the top third of the pile, and it's between right behind GPT 5.4 on xHive and Kimi, which
Yeah,
yeah. You know, there
which
we
is
go. I sorry to
pretty
cut
good
you off.
company.
I should try Kimi.
You should. You
Yeah, I
should
should
try
try
Kimi
Kimi.
2.6. Yeah. Give it a go.
My
'Cause that's
brain, man,
probably
just jumps from one thing to the next. Ooh, squirrel, shiny
fair
stuff.
enough.
So yeah, I think it's worth a try, right? Why not?
Why not? I mean, it's really interesting. There's a lot going on in the Google ecosystem after their announcements they made at their conference, right? So they're shutter. I mean, I'm sure you'll be happy, but they're shuttering the Gemini CLI basically.
Are they really?
So, Yeah, that's going away, and they're folding it into what's it called? Anti-gravity.
I don't know if I'm happy about that or not.
Yeah, it was nice to have the Gemini CLI as like an open source reference for these tools. It was like a great resource for that, which is so it's a shame they're kind of moving it away.
I wonder what the thought process, because I've never tried anti-gravity, but isn't it just Google's IDE?
Yeah, pretty much. It's their agentic IDE setup.
I
And
don't know
it's
if I'm
fine.
but that's a fantastic review of it. It's fine.
It's fine. I mean, it's not the, like it's a yet another IDE, and it's not quite as good as Cursor, right? So,
I think it's a little weird to go away from a CLI at this point. Seems like everybody's going the opposite direction, right?
It does. Well, especially with Pilot, you can build in, you can really make use of skills like the impeccable skill for like front-end design work,
Oh.
which kind of lets, have you tried that? It's
No,
quite
but
good.
I have another thing
Okay.
to tell you about that's it blew me away today. Go, so what is the impeccable skill? I've never heard of this before.
So this is a skill that kind of breaks down your project into design language elements, and also hooks in via an extension to Chrome, right? So you can hook into your, so you can open up your, pull up your site on your browser and highlight elements and then submit feedback on specific elements on the web page. And then that will allow you to refine more precisely. But yeah, so before people were moving more towards Cursor and things like T3 code was like a new one that came out, but like GUIs that have agentic tools built in, right? But this kind of pushes me back to terminal UIs as well.
Well, so I tried Claude Design for the first time today.
Oh yeah.
Because somebody sh I had you can tell I'm not the designer, right? So somebody was like, "Oh, could you demo out a Bedrock agent deployment where we have like a supervisor with some sub agents?" Like,
Okay.
I can do that,
Sure.
right? So went and built something really simple, put a sort of the typical chat front end on it, and it worked. Did it was it nice looking? Well, it worked, right? Like, it wasn't the worst thing that I had ever seen. But it
Was
was,
it plain text HTML? Maybe.
yeah, it was pretty close, right? So I was demoing it, and the person's like, they were trying to be really nice. They're like, this is cool. Is there anything we could do to the UI? And I'm like, well, sure. And I'm like, okay. So they showed me Claude Design. And I was just like,
Oh yeah.
oh my God. Like, so I've used the Claude code design skill.
Right.
I think that's maybe what I used for this. And like I said already, I've prefaced this whole section with, I'm not a designer. But I looked at it and I was like, well, it's not shit,
Yeah.
right?
That's a
Like,
website.
you can
Yeah.
read it. And you can click the buttons and like, what more do you need? So
Yeah,
that
what
was it,
being
right?
greedy, really. Yeah.
Claude Design, man, insane. Absolutely insane. So I took a screenshot of what they had created
Yeah.
because I was like, well, I don't know how to integrate that or whatever. Like, I've got an API gateway, I've got all this stuff sitting in front of it. I'd have to wire it up to Cognito. And she was great about it.
Right.
She's like, well, I'll try a couple things and I'll send you a zip file. So my original plan was it's podcast night. I better do some reading. And then I'll look at this in the morning and you know where that went. So
Oh, yeah.
I literally took the screenshot. I put it in Claude Design and I said, I want something that looks like this, right? And very Claude code like. It's like, okay, answer this, tell me about this. And it gave me little it was like I was just clicking buttons, right? As I was going along, making these selections. I was like, I don't know, that sounds good. A,
Sure,
B,
yeah, it looks
C,
good.
right? Like, okay. And it built the whole thing. Static HTML pages, because I wanted it in S3, right? All that great stuff. And then
Oh, yeah.
what made me think of it is what you said on that impeccable skill where like you can look at it in the browser. Claude code or Claude Design's kind of like that. I'm like, well, I get what you're doing with the SAML login, but that feature doesn't exist. So you're just making shit up. So take that out. Take this out.
Yeah.
It's great that you say there's 11 MCP servers loaded, but there isn't. So let's not hallucinate too much on that. So take that out. Mm. And it sort of iterated with me on it. The coolest part, you can share it, right? So I can say, okay, share it as a zip file, share it as this, yep. share it as that. There's an option in there to share with Claude code. So, and this is the first time I've ever used it, right? Never used this, heard about it. So I click the little button, I click the share with Claude code, and it gives me a URL. And I'm like, okay, copy this URL. Go over to Claude Code. I'm in the right project. I'm like, hey, dude, the last time you made this UI, it sucked. Look at this. And no, I didn't really say that. Go.
Wow.
Yeah. Dragon it's harsh, that's right? Crazy. Didn't you say you had design skill? It sucks, man. So I said, go look at this URL.
Got him.
And follow our regular process, like GitLab issues and stuff like that.
Right.
And I walked away. And I came back. And the... It night and day, man, blew me away. Unbelievable. Go ahead.
I was gonna say the ability to annotate like elements on the UI and like take notes from that makes it so much easier to just. It's like a weird. I don't know if you agree with this, but like I feel like designing software with these tools is kind of like sculpting a little bit. I've heard this metaphor before.
Yeah.
But you're kind of like shaping like yeah. your code base into something usable.
I like and that. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, I feel like I agree. I've seen that in other places. I definitely agree with that kind of metaphor for it. But yeah, you were saying what were you saying about?
I don't know, man. Just blew me away. I don't want to be overly dramatic, but these things are coming for all of us.
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone says. I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't see how it isn't coming for all of us. Like to be able to take a screenshot that I took during a conference call, right? Just because I wanted to try it. I was like I'm not a designer. I don't know what that typeface is. I don't know what this is. Like it's not my thing, right? But you can take a screenshot during a conference call and then literally put that screenshot into this. And it's like, oh, I got you.
Right? No problem.
Like 20 minutes later, it's like, boom, here you go. Oh, man. I don't know what the future looks like. Something else. Something else.
Really? Hopefully, I feel like you still need a design. I mean, okay. So
do you?
For your own... For demos like this, it's fine, right? Like you can just kind of spit something out.
Yeah.
And if it's good enough and passes a threshold, that's great.
Yeah.
It's useful. If you have like a really serious application, I mean, it's going to be like, it's going to come down to like, can you build something secure and reliable? And can the models do that?
I just keep thinking about this was like at least 20 episodes, maybe longer than 20 episodes ago. If you remember, we talked about Ethan Mollick, which, you know, keep, you know, a really great book that he wrote too. And in his book, he says, this is the worst model you will ever use. Just remember what you're doing today is the worst model you will ever use.
That is true.
I don't know. You just think back to like, September, October last year, what you were doing with these things compared to now. And that's only what? Don't check my math. 6 months?
The past 6 months has been crazy for the development of models. Yeah. That is true.
Yeah.
It's been a total game changer.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Skynet, but I think a lot of people are gonna be changing how they work every day.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's totally fair.
Yeah.
Cuz like the code is good enough, right? Like it's pretty much good enough. Yeah.
It's good. It's good enough, man, and I say this every week. It's a math problem.
Mm. Yeah.
It's probably just because I have way too much gray in my beard. I'm just old and cranky now, but it's just a math problem, man. Like dollars
That's true.
Speak.
I mean, That's true. That's true. I guess that'll depend on the cost of inference, right? Like how that changes over time. Like with the data centers that are being built out and improvements in chip design, that kind of thing,
Yeah.
are we going to get to the point where it's, you know, they don't have to subsidize as much, or where's that bar going to be, right?
Yeah.
Because right now you get like 7 grand of tokens for $100 or whatever,
Yeah.
$200.
Yeah, I do. I know what you mean. I like, okay, today I've used, oh dude. Oh my God.
What's your count at? I'll
Claude
install this plugin.
100. Yeah, you got to install this. I want to see if I'm pretty sure I have a problem, but I need somebody to confirm that I might have a problem. 167 million tokens.
Oh my God. That's a
So
lot of tokens.
it's a
I mean,
lot of tokens.
I've maxed out my subs before, so
Really?
maybe it's, yeah, like
You
I've
have
maxed out the
to.
code.
This is what I want you to do before the next
Okay.
podcast. I don't care what anything else. I want you to install that Codex bar because I need
Okay.
to know if I need a different hobby.
You need like some help or something.
Yeah. Deep down, I think I know the answer, but I need
Yeah.
somebody to confirm it for me. Yeah,
Okay.
167 million tokens.
That's a lot of tokens.
It's a lot of tokens.
It's a lot of
It's a lot of
tokens. Like
tokens. I saw
if you're
somebody
paying for those.
yeah, if I was paying for those, that's the other thing, right? Like the one thing about OpenCode, I was like looking at the bottom of the bar, just watching the dollars tick away,
Yeah.
and I'm like, I like Claude over here. I just use whatever I want. It's 140 bucks. Like
Yeah.
you know, I need to text my buddy because he went to the Claude Max 20x plan.
Oh yeah.
So I need him to install this as well because I want to know how many tokens he's going through.
We gotta know. We need
Yeah,
to
we
know.
gotta know. Inquiring minds want to know. Need to know, right? Need to know. All right. Oh, go ahead.
Real quick on the tokens thing. Did you see that the guy who developed OpenClaw spent like over $1 million in tokens last month?
$1 million.
Over $1 million in tokens. Mind you, this is at OpenAI, right? He
Yeah.
probably has unfettered access
Oh
to
yeah.
whatever he wants. He's
Yeah, yeah,
running hundreds and hundreds of bots across every repo, right?
Oh
But
yeah. Yeah. There was a great article, not an article, but a post I saw on LinkedIn, which actually I won't go back to personal projects, made me change a couple things on, not change a couple things, but do some additional monitoring in my OpenBrain account in particular. I wanted to see like the tokens that I was using on classification and all that kind of stuff. The article was about how people in tech companies are token maxing. Have you heard this?
I have heard this. This is
Yeah.
like a new thing in the valley, I
Yeah,
guess.
because
Weird metric.
they're measuring you on token consumption to show how active you are. It's kind of like measuring me on my Git commits and stuff like that. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, so now they're token maxing, and this person's sort of comment was, yeah, that's not the right metric. You definitely should be monitoring metrics and stuff, but just monitoring somebody's token consumption probably isn't a good indication of what it is they're doing.
I can think of one or two perverse incentives there that might
Yeah,
happen. You might
yeah,
have a Cobra problem.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. I'm token maxing. That's what I'm doing. For no reason,
Don't have to
no
impress
reason
anybody.
whatsoever.
Who's measuring your tokens?
Yeah, I'm
It's
just measuring it just to go, oh,
your
dude,
accountant.
go outside, man. Go to bed. Oh, that's brutal. Okay, so speaking of tokens and the cost of tokens, you're making me jump around in my list because it's a good segue. Did you see the article I shared? Dude, oh no, wait, wrong one. The article that I shared about Bedrock and a Hard Place, somebody spent 30K on Claude in AWS.
I did see that. 30 grand. That's
30
crazy.
grand. Yeah, 30 grand.
Ooh.
I don't know. If you listen to this podcast, you must just be like, dude, that guy just says the same shit every week, which is true. Like, budgets are your friend.
Yep.
They have been
If you're
since
building an
the
AWS.
yeah, they have been from the very first time you could use S3 in AWS. Budgets probably didn't exist, but I'm making a point, right? From day one to day whatever we're at right now, you should absolutely have a budget, no matter what you're doing. The
Oh, yeah.
really gotcha part about this was the person seemed like they were doing the right thing. They put anomaly detection on The problem is anomaly detection does not support AWS Marketplace. And because you're using Claude, right. you are using a Marketplace subscription.
Wow. That's unfortunate.
So $30K bill.
Okay.
Yep. So yeah, I didn't know that either. I didn't know anomaly detection wouldn't see something like Marketplace. I think it's an RTFM moment because AWS's response was it's in the documentation, man. Like,
yep.
Right.
Oh, apparently they had credits too, so they didn't.
Yeah, they burned through almost 10K in credits.
Wow.
That's rough. I think it was like 8 and change. But again, you know, just to be that crappy old meh guy, you could, in theory, have used Cost Explorer and removed your credits from the view and been watching that.
But again, that's not an intuitive thing to do.
No, it's not.
In the Cost Explorer console.
No, it's
not. There's some finagling that has to happen to get a good report out of that, which is unfortunate.
But. It is. Well, it's still way better than it used to be, but you're right.
That's true.
You have to know where to go and look for that to remove credits from it so you actually see what you're consuming, right?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that hard, but it is.
I mean, it's nice of AWS to provide some job security to a whole FinOps organization.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Just managing AWS. Like, that's a whole job is managing AWS spend in some of these huge accounts, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah, absolutely.
So much work to do there.
Yeah, absolutely, right? So, yeah, buyer beware. Remember you are using the marketplace. Not for everything, but for Claude, you are using the marketplace, and anomaly detection, while you should have it on, will not tell you something weird is going on in marketplace.
Now, is that just for any Claude usage in Bedrock, like API billing?
I think so.
Marketplace?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Which again, you know, this sort of made something pop into my head. I'm like, huh, I subscribe to Claude for OpenBrain through Bedrock. I should probably make sure. I absolutely should be. What do they say? Dog fooding my own advice. I do have a budget in there because I have a little bootstrapping script that I run in all the accounts. But you know, it might be something that I would want to just triple check just in case.
Yeah, I mean, you're not running like any kind of inference or like an OpenClaw agent or anything like that. You're not even have like an agentic setup besides OpenBrain, right? So
yeah. And think about that bill, right? $30,000. Okay.
That's a lot of usage.
Yeah, that's a lot of usage. I've burnt 2.6 billion tokens in the 30 days. That's $1,900.
Yeah.
So make it easy. Say it's $2,000. You're burning 15 times that. You have to at some point kind of think, huh. Maybe we should just check, like, what is it that's going on? You're just like, well, I'll use that same mean, right? All gas, no brakes, baby. Let's go. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times. Good times. So budgets are your friends. Set them up, right? Or at least spend a few minutes in Cost Explorer. Oops. I'm going to totally change gears. I could not read this article because I couldn't figure out a way around the paywall, but tell me about the robot lawnmower hack that ran somebody over.
Oh my God, this was wild. Okay, so this was there's a brand of robots called Yarbos, right? Mm-hmm. And this guy discovered that you can essentially, they're basically unprotected, so you can hack into any and all Yarbos in the world, and they're just listening on the internet, you know. So this is a lawnmower we're talking about. This is a bladed device. So to test this, to prove this out, this guy had someone come over. He hacked the lawnmower, the journalist lawnmower, and then ran him over with it, obviously without the blades attached, right? But
it's fantastic.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I hope not without the blades.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just hacked it right in front of him and ran him over with
it. And then hacked him up with it.
I guess so. I guess he could have, right? Then that's the scary part.
Jesus.
It caused a lot of damage, one of those things. Yeah.
You could have like a robot lawnmower army.
You could right now.
Yeah.
If you wanted.
You can control them all and task them with like whatever you wanted. You could start your you could start your own food delivery company by hacking lawn robots and then sending them to pick food up.
You could. You totally absolutely could.
That's my personal project update. Yeah, that's my personal project update for next week. Tell me about the Kanban board. Pff, screw that.
Forget the Kanban board.
Lawnmowers.
I'm taking over the tri-state area.
Yeah. What exactly is the tri-state area?
I think there's a few of them. You just have to have three states. I think it's fine.
It's any...
Better not to think about it.
Oh, man. I definitely need to go outside. I'm getting a little punchy. Better not to think about it. That's good advice. It's just generally good advice. You know the first thing I thought of? I chuckled to myself when I read this. I thought of Maximum Overdrive.
Oh, yeah.
That should be on my recommendation list for this week. If you have not seen that movie, you should see it.
Oh my god, yeah. Well, we're kind of rapidly careening to a world where that's possible, right?
It seems like, that way.
If you don't have proper security controls on these robots, like there was, what, that figure, a humanoid robot worm?
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was just broadcast over Bluetooth. It was like full control over the robot. There's going to have to be some regulations about security on these devices because
you would think.
I mean, they're everywhere, yeah. Or they will be everywhere.
Yeah, they will be. Maybe I was wrong about Skynet. We don't need advanced robots. We just need enough lawnmowers, and it's game over.
Just enough smart devices. Yeah.
Yeah. Semi-smart devices. In Maximum Overdrive, a dude does get chewed up by his lawnmower, man. So there you go.
That's right. Yeah, I remember that now.
It predicted the future. Yeah, mm-hmm. And somebody else, I think, gets taken out by a vending machine, a pop vending machine, if I remember. Gets the can right in the forehead. How do you write an obituary for that? All right, so where are we going next? Okay, I'm just having too much fun at this point. Dude, where's my password? Did you read that one?
Dude, where's my password?
What's the stoner who recovers his locked Bitcoin wallet with
the
400,000.
This is crazy.
Isn't this crazy? The first thing I wrote down is Password Vault, man. Password Vault is your friend. Even if you are stoned, you could put something in a Password Vault so you don't have to burn tokens getting clawed to try to figure out your password.
I mean, the whole point of these like wallets is so you don't have to compromise them all in one place though, right?
Yeah, I think it said in the article like three or four passwords he had to get through, and he had three and he didn't have the fourth one. It's a fantastic article. It is so worth a read just from the learning opportunities alone. Like I would be toast without my password vault. Like I could not function. I couldn't function at work. I could not function in a non-work environment. My whole life is in a password vault, which when you think about is quite scary, but it's just the nature of the beast, right? But they describe in the article the lengths that he went to, like going back to his parents' house and getting like old notebooks and shit to take pictures of it, to feed it to Claude, and anything that he could find that seemed like it could possibly be related to his Bitcoin wallet. He was feeding that into Claude, even pulling out like old laptops, old work laptops and stuff, and getting Claude on those to look for stuff. And it eventually worked.
That's awesome. I mean, what would you do for 400 grand, I guess? And talk about a subscription paying for itself.
Oh, yeah. Right there. That's a good $140 investment. The other part that I was just like, I'm reading this article. And I'm like, this is too good to be true. He buys five Bitcoins in 2015 at a Starbucks. What?
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Like, you're just in your local Starbucks and you buy some Bitcoin? Like, what?
I mean, hanging out with someone who's kind of into it, or
the barista's making your like flat white, and as they're doing it, they're like, hey, you want to buy some Bitcoin?
What was Bitcoin in 2015? Let's see.
I think in the article it said like he maybe spent like $400 or $500 or something. Bucks. Yeah, like
okay.
I don't know. Okay. I'm pretty sure it was in the article, but yeah, you know what? For 400K, I guess you would do a fair amount. If you look at the article, he even tells you what his password was, and it's such a stoner password. It is absolutely fantastic.
That is really something.
So you have to read the article to figure out what his password was. It's worth a read. All right, what else do we have here? We've talked about spending money, finding money. We've talked about being run over by your robot lawnmower. Some serious stuff. The one password article that you shared on using agentic engineering, or they called it agentic refactoring, to basically break apart their multi-million line Go monolith application. Walk us through this, because it's a really great article.
Yeah, this was really interesting. And I guess the crux of it is that, so essentially 1Password, they have a monolith, monorepo rather, for their software. And they were essentially trying to run some major updates, refactorings on that repo and improve the code. It's like the main things about this, they were able to use it for like complex service extraction, which was really good, or some help. Mm-hmm. They'd be like a 20-30% improvement. But they had a lot of problems with like coordinated changes across, systems, right? So like schemas, read and write things, deployment order, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So like the main lessons from this was like generating code isn't the hard part. The hard part is like sequencing the changes, making sure the schemas stay the same, shared state and deployment order, all this kind of context stuff, like wide sweeping context changes across a big repo.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're going to do big changes like this, this is not the only big monorepo change I've seen over the past week, and we could talk about that in a minute. But it's like monorepo is probably better than microservices, because you have access to everything in the same place, right? You don't have to load all this context from other locations and map all those schemas.
Yeah.
So
I thought this was a
pretty cool.
Really cool article, right? A couple things that I wrote down I thought was interesting, that they really worked on agents building tools for themselves to use, because those tools are deterministic versus, you know, an LLM, which isn't. And having a non-deterministic system can be useful, but not necessarily in every single use case, right? Like you want that thing to get the same results every time. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yes.
I also thought it was interesting how much time they said they spent building playbooks for the agents, so that the agents knew exactly how they, the company, right, 1Password, wanted them to actually execute the migration once it got there. So they said about the amount of time they had invested in building those playbooks. What else did I put in my
list?
That's
something I've seen a lot. Something I've seen a lot with skills recently, like using skills for that kind of work. Like turning SOPs into agent skills is a really useful application. You can kind of almost, a skill almost becomes a program at that point. Like you're kind of really putting the guardrails on what you want the agent to do in that scenario when you invoke it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. The only challenge with that, and I've noticed this too, because I've spent some time on the sort of, I can turn this into a skill, is I still find like, just because I say something in the skill doesn't necessarily mean that the agent's going to follow that. Right. Like it's like, I know something else. You know what? One of the things I've been working on over the last little while is I made a mistake when I expected a human to read standards and then take those standards and use them. Right. And I'd be like,
right. Yeah.
Fuck. Like, that's not what is in here. Like, this is the way this is supposed to be written. So I had a big brain moment and I was like, I know I will use an agent to evaluate these things against that standard. And it was really, really hit and miss. It sometimes, like, I would get the results and I'd be like, oh, let's go check. And I'd be like, okay, yes, good job, 9 out of 10, right? And then the next time I'd do the same thing, it'd be like, what happened, man? Like, did you spend all your time looking for that guy's Bitcoin wallets, like his password? Like, because you weren't concentrating on this. He was chewing up all the usage. So what I ended up doing, I think, was something very similar to this. I was like, okay, I'm going to take the standards that we have and I'm going to have you write scripts that I can include in every pipeline that evaluates it against that standard. You can help me write that, but you're not going to do the evaluation itself. And night and day, man, so much better. I bet you have a couple people pissed off at me because I just keep saying reject, reject. Actually, I don't even do it anymore. An agent does it for me. It's like, you silly. That's not. Try again. It's a script. Our entire world is going to be scripts and markdown files within 6 months.
Very short order.
Yeah. 6 months. Sorry, I was just going to say, this article, if I don't care if, you know, you're maybe not dealing with a multi-million line Go application, but I think there are lessons in here that you can apply regardless to the scale of what it is you're trying to accomplish. It's a really, really good look at how you can use these non-deterministic systems in a way that makes them more deterministic, I think. Seems weird, right? Yeah. But it's kind of what I took away from it.
No, totally. It's kind of like, it kind of feels a little dissonant there, but like, actually you just want like a tight kind of fuzzy loop with the deterministic script execution for the actual editing of things, right? So you're maintaining your whatever standards or your schemas there, right? Yeah. So that's what I took away from this as well.
Yeah. And the other thing that I wrote down, because I thought it was so perfect, these are in my words, but it was something like this: without context, the agent will fill the gaps. So context is still so important. If you don't give that agent enough context, it's like, I got you. I can, don't worry about it, right?
Yeah, the text generation machine, believe it or not, will generate the text.
Will generate text. And as a human, you will look at it and you'll go, I think that's good. Let's carry on, because that's what humans do. So, really, really worth it. I also like this one about Bedrock and Bedrock introducing prompt optimization and a migration tool. I don't care so much about the migration tool. I don't even remember reading about that part.
Yeah.
But I thought the prompt optimization was really interesting.
Okay. What did they say about the prompt optimization?
Yeah. So, basically what you're able to do now is... well, optimize your prompts for any model that's running on Bedrock. And then you can compare those prompts across up to five models at the same time. So you can basically say, hey, this is my prompt. Okay. Go check it out on these guys. And what it'll basically do is iterate over it and look for the best results. I learned a new interesting term, which I had never heard of before. LLM as a judge. So, essentially when you prompt an LLM to either run like sort of some type of assessment or feedback on the outputs of another agentic system. So that's what LLM as a judge is. It made me think of the conversation we had with Dr. Dave Bauer a while ago. Bauer, right? So, I thought this was slick, and it also reminded me of something else that we talked about earlier on. Or sort of maybe I hinted at earlier. I'm not sure now. I think maybe it wasn't today. It's all blending together. I think I talked about in the past, we were talking about skills and Claude and stuff. And I stumbled across that. It's like a built-in, I don't know what they call it in Claude, but it's like basically a plugin. And you can basically feed it your skill. Because if you remember, the only thing that Claude really loads in your skills at the beginning is that sort of metadata at the top. So what this is, it's basically in Claude a way to basically test, run a whole bunch of tests against it to see if that skill would actually be invoked. And the idea is that you can use that to improve that chunk of metadata so that Claude is more likely to use that skill when you would expect it to use the skill. And I don't know if it's an exact comparison, but when I was reading this about this idea of prompt optimization, it kind of made me think of that as well, in the sense that it's basically testing it, looping over it, and then gives you an assessment on the different models that it's using. And, you know, then you could decide which one you think makes most sense. I thought it was kind of cool.
Right. Yeah, that's neat. I remember you were talking about using that Claude feature for developing the Second Brain system when we were first getting into it. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is cool. I mean, so you can just loop through it and then I kind of identify which model is best for you on a cost basis versus performance basis is the idea.
Yeah.
It sounds like. Okay.
And it's also, I thought it was pretty neat, right? Probably more for enterprise, but like,
yeah,
right. I don't
it's
know.
Like, if can we save a few bucks by, using Sonnet or Haiku, right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not even a few bucks. Maybe it's just like, hey, do I get better output?
True.
Right. Just quality of output. I don't know.
It says you can judge it against a set of standards, though. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You can I couldn't understand this part because they just sort of said it very quickly, but you can wire in a Lambda function to do something. You can even use natural language to basically provide instructions on how you want the optimization to work. Pretty slick. And it's even multimodal. Like, you can pass it. It supports PNG, PDFs, and what did I put here? JPEGs that you can pass in as well.
PNG, JPEG, text, PDF. Yeah, cool. Wow, they are really beefing up the Bedrock ecosystem.
You know, I was thinking about this as we were getting ready. I just joke about how many updates there are, like EC2 available in this, and I'm like, whatever. You know, Bedrock and Agent Core sort of seems like the same now. They're just like, hey, have some more. Here's something else. Yeah, try to keep up, right? Like, here you go. Pretty neat. I don't know if I'd ever use it, but... probably not, at least in what I'm doing right
probably
now.
Not.
But I thought it was kind of neat.
If you were trying to optimize across like hundreds of thousands or millions of requests, then I'm sure you would want to make sure that you're getting what you can minimize that cost, right? But for what we're doing. Yeah,
exactly. Okay, and the last thing, my favorite company that I never pronounce the same way twice. I even wrote down the phonetic spelling pronunciation of it. Cerebras, or Cerebras, however you want to say it, did in fact raise our favorite chip company, you know, chips bigger than our head, right?
Oh, yeah.
$5.5 billion. And their stock goes up 108% in the first big IPO of the year. And I have non buyer's remorse.
You would not have been able to buy that.
No, I know.
IPO anyways.
Yeah, I like
at
to
the
think
right
I'm
price at IPO anyways.
Yeah, I like to think I'm important that I could. And you know, the only part that pisses me off, how many times have we talked about these guys talking about IPO? And it was just like when I read this article, I was like, damn, that was my retirement fund,
well,
man.
They tried.
Gone.
They tried and they failed.
I think they got halfway down the path and then stopped, right?
Yeah. I don't know if you should be super worried about that.
I'm just having more fun than anything.
Like... That's fair. Yeah, we missed. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I missed NVIDIA. So, oh well.
Yeah.
What can you do about that?
Boo. Yeah, I know. I see things on Reddit that, you know, have to be true about like people's NVIDIA portfolios, and I'm like, oh well, missed that one. Wow. Try again later.
Oh well.
Oh well.
The next one. That's
There's got to be another one, right? I don't know, man. Like, these guys make cool chips, and now they're worth a lot of money.
Yep, and their entire customer base is in the UAE, I think.
Is it?
It's like one university. So pretty much, they have that deal with OpenAI, but like 80% of their revenue is from like the Saudi fund. So was the problem the first time? So
was it?
Yeah.
I thought we had an article a while ago that there was some sort of deal in the works between these guys and AWS even for these chips. Or am I just getting... We've talked about so many chips, right?
There's a lot of chips out there. So many varieties.
Yeah.
Flavors, if you will.
Yeah. flavors.
I wouldn't be surprised if they had a deal with AWS. There's so many deals going on in the industry, right? Like,
speaking of chip flavors, did you see that Lay's is like releasing all sorts of crazy chip flavors for the World Cup?
I did not see this.
Yeah.
So what do you mean by crazy? What are we talking about?
Oh, man, I don't know. Steak free? Like, what is that supposed to be?
Okay.
And then there's like, you know, cheese this and cheese that. And we had a rather animated discussion on chip flavors this afternoon. But don't ask me to recall the flavors. But I bet you there will be a few bags of those chips hanging around the house over the next month or so.
Oh, I'm sure we'll find our way into those at some point. Somehow.
Yeah, right? I think that's it, man. I think we've gone through everything.
Okay, wow. Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Gonna get some chips.
Yeah, now I'm hungry, man. Do you have any recommendations for the week?
I do have a movie recommendation,
Okay.
So we watched a movie called They Will Kill You.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen this floating around. But it's essentially a movie about a cult in a hotel.
Okay.
And it's kind of like Kill Bill, but it's in a hotel and there's a cult. So that's all I'll say about it. It was very entertaining, fun watch, and not too much to think about, but a good time. So
yeah, very good. Yeah. Okay. I will add it to my watch list. I should have pulled, I have a kind of movie recommendation. We watched Send Help. Have you seen that?
We've been meaning to watch that for weeks now.
It's worth a watch. It's worth a watch. It's we had a good couple chuckles here or there. It's a good movie. So it's worth a watch. I'm trying to access Letterboxd in my head right now on what else I've put in there this week, and I cannot think of anything.
We watched a movie. We watched a stop motion movie called Mad God that I don't know if I can recommend.
Mad God,
but it was interesting. Okay. Yeah, this was like by the stop motion director who did the Jurassic Park dinosaurs. I think he worked with Lucasfilm on some other stuff.
Okay,
but it was like his 30-year passion project or something.
Yeah,
just a very strange, kind of gross movie. In a lot of ways,
yeah.
But very, like, just really gross imagery, like the characters in hell that you can tell, basically.
Okay.
But it was really cool stop motion.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I have any other recommendations, man. Boring week.
Oh, I have some more recommendations.
Oh, go for it.
Lay's bacon poutine chips.
Oh, that was one of them.
Steak and chimichurri, cheese and onion.
There you go, man. You got all the flavors. You Googled it.
Got the list. We're gonna get them.
I'm afraid to touch anything on my laptop while we're streaming because I'm like at any moment it's just gonna like light itself on fire and stop.
That's
so
fair.
I just like hands off keyboard. Don't touch anything. until you play our really great intro/outro song. It's the only thing I'm allowed to do.
Intro, outro.
Yeah.
All occasion theme song.
Yep. One theme song to rule them all.
It's all you need. You know, you're right, the right one.
Yeah. I think we're done, man.
I think that's a podcast.
I think that's a podcast. That's episode 47 or 48 in the books. Oh, and It's greater than episode one. It's less than episode 500.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. We're working towards 500. I haven't told you this yet, but we will have a guest next week. For what are we on? May. So yeah, I was just going to tell you like Tuesday night around like midnight.
Perfect.
I figured give you a lot of time to prep. I'll give you the scoop.
I wouldn't want to research or anything. That's fine.
Nah. Let's just wing it. It's the whole show.
Do it live.
Yeah, we just wing it. All right, man. Enjoy your Wednesday evening. I am going to try to push myself away from the computer very slowly and go do something else. But in the back of my head, I'm thinking about that Claude design thing, and I'm like, do I want to tinker with that a little more? Oh. You know, I've got to get up to, what am I at? What did I say?
You got to get those numbers up. You're at 160 million?
Okay, see, I don't know if 200. I don't know if I believe this thing. we've been sitting here talking for like the last hour, and it now says I've used 170 million tokens. So where did 5 million tokens come from in the last hour? Somebody stealing my tokens to search for alien life.
Ooh, maybe. Maybe you got stuck in one of those CVs.
Don't say that. Don't joke about that. it's a horrible thing to say.
Someone's borrowing your keys to mine for their old Bitcoin.
Yeah, their old Bitcoin passwords. Now I got to go check everything. I won't be able to sleep tonight. I'm like, oh, man. I got to go rotate everything. Oh, no. All right.
D-script spinning or something.
Yeah, I'm sure. On that fun thought, we're going to call it a night. Enjoy your Wednesday, everyone. Hopefully nobody's using your tokens for nefarious reasons.
Yep, don't get pwned.
Bye, everyone.
So I built this MCP.